You're listening to Sounds Good with Donna DeMayo, and I have a very, very special guest, Yelena Dokic. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's an honour to talk to you. Thank you.
Now, we are going to talk about a very, very serious topic because we've just been at the White Shirt campaign, the Witchery White Shirt campaign, and the Ovarian Cancer Research Foundation campaign. It's been running for many years, about 16 years now. Why did you want to be part of this?
It was really important for me to be a part of it if I could, first of all, to try and be able to, if I can, with my voice and platform, raise awareness of ovarian cancer. It's such a terrible disease, and the survival rates are really not great, especially because the symptoms are very, very subtle or sometimes even non-existent, so it's caught in very late stages. I have a little bit of that family history as well, where my grandmother died of ovarian cancer, and I didn't actually ever get to meet my mum's mum because of that. So, yeah, and I know that that was really hard on my mum as well because she lost her mum before the age of 14. So, yeah, that's really hard. I know, how hard that was for my mum as well. But also there was even less than today, had no idea what it was. So, yeah, it's been really, really amazing to see the campaign over the last 16 years and what it's done, first of all, to raise awareness and normalize the conversation around it, but then to be able to raise all the funds that we've been able to do, over $16 million for the research to try and find better treatments, but also that early detection test, which we don't have. And especially since I've become an ambassador now for the last 2 years, talking even to a lot of women and especially younger women and girls, not even being aware of the dangers of ovarian cancer and that there is no early detection test. So, yeah, very important. I am someone that I would like to think of myself in being able to use my voice and my platform for women's issues.
That was going to be one of my questions. The fact that, you do have a very, very high profile, a strong profile, and people, have seen you go through a lot yourself in various areas and your personal life. You're very open, you're very giving, you're very supportive of others. So this is, another adjunct to what you've been able to do in the last few years, I've noticed.
Thank you. I really appreciate that because that's what I would like to stand for. Obviously, when it comes to women's issues, women's topics, I've been through some of those, like domestic violence and mental health and abuse and child abuse. So I try to raise awareness and fight for a lot of those causes. And when it comes to not even just our mental health, but then it goes to our reproductive health. It's such a massive issue for women, and it hasn't been for a very long time. There was shame and stigma around talking about it. Let's not forget even talking about periods. And that's a massive issue in sport. In Wimbledon, up until last year, women were forced to not just wear white, which we're fine with, but what we wear under our skirts had to be white. And we had such a worry every single time we would play at Wimbledon from a very young age, even in juniors. So it's something that I actually even talk about in my books. I try to advocate for that shame and stigma to be removed, but also to normalize the conversation around things that we would usually not talk about. And ovarian cancer is one of them. I also haven't had a great experience when it comes to doctors, to be honest with you. And a lot of the time, my worry and me wanting to have kind of feel like I am okay and like everything is okay, I couldn't.
Like, did you feel dismissed?
Almost dismissed, but also I wanted to get checked and I wanted to get ultrasounds. And I do have endometriosis as well and PCOS, and I'm at a higher risk of a few other things, including cervical cancer and ovarian cancer. So for me, if I have to go and want to get a scan every, even 3 months, just to have that peace of mind and to feel safe and like I'm doing everything I can for my health, I should be able to do that. And I've come across, unfortunately, a few times and a few doctors and gynecologists where that was dismissed. And it didn't make me feel great, but I'm someone that stands firm. I'm someone that actually, especially now, has a voice. But I know a lot of women and girls will feel like, well, okay, that's what the doctor said.
They can feel intimidated,
exactly.
You know.
And almost like you would go into your shell a little bit, then go, well, okay, maybe if that's what they think, but we shouldn't, I kind of feel like, have to do that. So that's also a big part of this campaign. Yes, we're trying to find a QI and an early detection test or a vaccine, like we now have for cervical cancer, but it's also raising awareness to go, okay, go to your doctor, keep an eye out on the symptoms, talk to your friends, be there for each other. If you have to go together to the doctor, that's what this is about.
That's what was my supplementary question, insofar as, you know, having those support people, because, you know, we even heard at this campaign wrap up today, you know, you know, we heard from some people who have ovarian cancer, and we heard from the researchers, and the importance of having people there supporting you. How critical is that?
It's life changing and life saving, because to have someone be there by your side, hold your hand, and that you feel like you know, I got you no matter what, and also vice versa.
Nothing worse than feeling alone, right?
No. And I talk a lot about this when it comes to domestic violence victims and survivors, mental health as well. That is what removing shame, stigma means, and normalizing the conversation so that we are there for each other, but also not just as friends, but as community, workplaces, schools and sports for younger people as well, but just in general, even on social media, to normalize that conversation. So, there's nothing like knowing that you are there for each other. Us girls, even as we were getting ready, we were talking about all of this in there, which was amazing, actually. There was about 10 of us in there getting our hair and makeup done, getting ready, everybody coming through and talking about getting those scans, you know, go to this doctor, or my gynecologist is great, or, you know, I'll go with you, and don't take no for an answer. So today's been emotional also because of Leanne. Today Sydney was hard when we launched as well, today as well, but you kind of at the same
Leanne Flynn was a very special
Leanne
woman.
Leanne Flynn was amazing, because you would never have known she was going through what she was going through. She was in really late stages last year when she was when she was here, and she passed away only a few months later. But she all she wanted was to leave a legacy where her girls would be safer and live a life where ovarian cancer was not what it is today. So, it's been hard. But at the same time, you see women like this, and we're talking here now, it gives you hope that we're in it together, that we're raising awareness. And one by one, I know I talk to all my friends, and I talk to anybody that I know or can. As soon as we talk about reproductive health or anything like that, I straight away go, look, go get checked. Don't take no for an answer.
Normalising those conversations, so important. And I will wrap up now. Yelena Dokic, thank you so much for joining me here on Sounds Good with Donna DeMayo. I will ask you, though, with, you know, what does the future hold for you insofar as we're talking about normalising conversations in these different areas? You take to social media quite a lot. Will you keep using that as your way of connecting and also educating and advocating?
Absolutely. I didn't know what social media would bring to me when I kind of got on it 5 years ago with the release of my first book. And I just kind of went into it going, look, if I don't like it, I'll turn it off, or I won't be on it. But for me, regardless of, I think we all here and there get a trolling message.
Yeah. How do you cope with that, though? You are so strong, because I've seen some of the awful stuff that happens.
Yeah, look, I think especially when you're a public figure, actually we all get it, unfortunately. Mm. And I have to say, though, I have the best supporters in the world, because for me it's literally 0.001%. It's literally here and there, but it's still more than it should be. There shouldn't be any. Kindness should be the measure that we go by, and not writing and trolling people. But I will, I take my social media very, very seriously. My Instagram, that's the only one I'm on. But I look at it as a community. I look at it as a kind of a family where we can come on and we can support each other. And
so
when
do you just ignore the trolls? Like, how do you cope? I just feel like this is your chance to maybe tell people listening, how do you cope, and how can they cope possibly if they're encountering a similar kind of thing?
I don't think that there is a one size fits all. Mm. Whatever works for you. For me to say, look, I take every troll on and I answer back, it wouldn't be right, because I do delete and I do block because some of it is really nasty and vile, and they just do it to be that way, unfortunately. Here and there I try to answer, but it's more from an educational perspective to go, look, did it make you feel good to leave me a bad message? Or look, if you don't like it, you don't have to say anything. You don't have to follow me, but you also don't have to write anything mean. So I try to answer. And if they don't get it, if it gets too much, I block. And move on. But that's I think that's really important, especially for your mental health. I think I've got a pretty thick skin, but sometimes I even go, you know what, it's not worth it.
Really aren't worth it.
But it's important. I will continue to call it out. I use my social media for having a voice, for sharing my stories, for fighting against injustice and creating change. I want to continue doing that and be known for someone that uses a voice for something good. So I hope I can do that.
And in the meantime, you're a great communicator and a great commentator. So we love seeing you on the small screen, and I know that you're off overseas shortly.
Well, I'm going just for a little break. I don't get a lot of breaks in a year, but really busy with the speaking circuit, which is amazing. That was a big goal of mine. Second book out, it's been received so amazingly well. French Open, Wimbledon, US Open coming up as well. We do all that for Channel 9. So, I'm so excited to be doing things that I really love, but pretty much every single thing that I do, I can use my voice. I can spread a positive message and a message of kindness and a message of let's try and make a difference somewhere, somehow. And if I can do that, I will be, a really happy person. And for me, it's really important, the legacy that I leave behind.
Thank you so much, Ghislaina Tokic.
Thank you.